mindfulness can provide an opportunity to re-educate and reorient oneself about living with high blood pressure by becoming more aware of its relationship to the mind-body connection. It's also important to say that this is not a substitute for medical intervention, and if you have high blood pressure, it's imperative to see your doctor right away. There may be a need for medication, developing an exercise program, and modifying diet. As far as mind-body complementary approaches, there is growing evidence that meditation may be helpful. There's ongoing research in the relationship between hypertension and the mind-body connection, that the very thoughts we think can have an effect on the body. There are correlations between unacknowledged emotions and holdings in the body that may affect blood pressure. Below is some information on how mindfulness-based meditation may be useful in working with hypertension. There are three important areas in working with hypertension that mindfulness practices may be enormously helpful. The first is developing an ability to possibly lower blood pressure by calming down the mind and body. When we get stressed, angry, or anxious, we often tense up and get muscle skeletal tension, and usually our breathing changes, becoming more rapid and irregular, thus forcing our heart rate and blood pressure to elevate. This becomes a very vicious cycle. We may be unaware that we are holding tightly, stressing and worrying about something, and not even be aware that we are increasing our blood pressure. How a mindfulness intervention may be immensely useful in working with hypertension is that as soon as we recognize that we are out of balance, we can begin to take proactive steps back to it. Often, when we are unmindful to various stresses, we react in unskillful ways. As mentioned, we clench and tighten muscles, breathe more rapidly. And this increased tension and regular breathing forces the heart to beat faster and raises blood pressure. We find ourselves in a state of mindless reactivity. It's only when we come back into the present moment and see what we are doing to ourselves that we can begin to make positive changes. We begin to loosen our tight bodies and practice normal diaphragmatic breathing to regulate our respiration. And as our bodies become softer and the breathing comes back to normal, often our heart rate and blood pressure come back into balance. Often, we have no idea what we're doing to ourselves. We become our greatest adversaries. Mindfulness can change the course of our lives by waking up and seeing that we always have a choice on how we can respond to stressful situations. The second area that mindfulness practices can help hypertension is to learn how to become more sensitive and aware of our bodies, to know whether our blood pressure is normal or not, even without a blood pressure cuff. This is an important observation and step to learning to possibly manage our blood pressure. And although there are some individuals who cannot tell whether their pressure is high or not, many can. If we can learn to read ourselves, to be more aware of the state of our blood pressure when we are driving, working, being at home, communicating with others, in all the activities of daily life, This would be a great advantage for us. By practicing mindfulness, we can become more sensitive and aware to the inner weather of the mind and body. As we become aware that our blood pressure is high, we can begin practicing the mindfulness of breathing and attempting to calm the mind and body, or taking whatever steps to lower it. It's our awareness that helps us to see more clearly. And from that awareness, we can take the necessary steps towards health and balance. The third area that mindfulness-based practices can help hypertension is learning how to be with the way things are. This is not a simple matter. It's hard to come to terms with a greater sense of acceptance and peace when we are faced with illness, disability, and dying. Perhaps this is the most lasting healing attitude we could ever have when we are at peace with ourselves and the world around us. It's a powerful insight when we discover that our very resistance to pain causes more pain, more suffering. Mindfulness can teach us how to go with the flow rather than fighting it. Sometimes, even with the best of lifestyle and behavioral changes, our blood pressure may still remain high. We have optimized all of the contributing factors that promote health and well-being, yet our genetics is our genetics. Unfortunately, in most cases, hypertension can be controlled by medication, developing an exercise program, and modifications of diet. There are times when we need to put our energy into acknowledging the emotions and feelings that come along the way when we live with illness. We can learn how to embrace and acknowledge our fear, anger, sadness, and confusion that are often associated with these challenges. When we begin to come to terms with the way things are, with greater acceptance, we will then experience more peace. This is not an easy path, but it is much easier than fighting and resisting. Franz Kafka once said, "You can hold back from suffering of the world, and you have permission to do so, and perhaps it's in accordance with your nature, but realize that this very holding back is the one suffering you could have avoided. Perhaps it's more efficient for us to acknowledge the pains that we're feeling rather than putting our energy into denial, aversion." I would like to share a powerful story of healing, a true story about a sculptor who had been commissioned by a federal agency to build a very large globe of the earth. It was a beautiful globe, nearly completed, finely painted, as smooth as a marble. But unexpectedly, the sculptor had a catastrophic accident and became paralyzed from the waist down. The sculptor embarked on intensive rehabilitation, physical therapy, occupational therapy, as well as seeing a counselor to deal with the psychological and spiritual dimensions of living with paralysis. After a year of therapy, the sculptor experienced a profound healing, but this healing pertained to the psychological and spiritual and not to the physical. The sculptor remained a paraplegic. And the sculptor had a vision of healing and was inspired to make some changes to the globe. And the sculptor called in a crane operator to come and lift the globe up in the air and then asked the crane operator to release that globe, and it came tumbling down to the ground. It broke into many pieces. The sculptor got out a welding torch and re-welded the globe back together again. But instead of sanding the seams smooth, left them rigid and ragged, and painted them as part of the topography of the globe. The sculptor was very pleased with what the globe looked like now as a reflection of healing, and put it behind a curtain and invited the federal officials to come and to look at the globe. And the sculptor warned the officials that there had been some changes and that it was a reflection of healing. None of them expected to see what they were about to see, though. And the sculptor unveiled the globe to the federal officials, and they could not hide their shock. They were dismayed. They were astonished. Finally, one of them blurted out, "But what happened to the other globe? It was so beautiful. It's smooth as a marble, finely painted. This has welded seams of steel." The sculptor said, "Yes, I've made some changes, as you've seen, and I can change this globe back to how you would like it. But I'd like to share with you the name of what I call this globe, and perhaps you will understand. Again, this is a reflection of my own healing and my own journey, becoming a paraplegic." And they said, "Please tell me, what do you call this globe?" And the sculptor said, "I call this globe shattered but whole." "Shattered but whole," the sculptor said. "Yes, my life was shattered nearly a year ago. And I have discovered that even within all of the shatterings, that there can be wholeness. Shattered but whole." And as we live our life, we will at times experience different shatterings. And as that story reminds us, we can still become whole. And ultimately, mindfulness practices may help to see illness within the context of one's whole life as an invitation to learn about oneself, and can offer enormous benefits for dealing with the physical and emotional challenges of living with stress, pain, or illness.